Well, good morning, everyone. I know that in update last week, it said that David Trenier was speaking this morning. If you're looking at me and think, wow, he's aged rather a lot over the week, let me assure you that I'm sure he's actually enjoying a very nice holiday with Laura and the children, and we'll be back, I think, during the week. I want us to look at a psalm this morning, and it's Psalm 13. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at psalms, and Tim Vellacott shared last week on a psalm, and it was very helpful. And we're going to look at Psalm 13, and it's page 548. In the church Bible. One thing I love about David, just as you're finding it, is David was, I would say, emotionally free. When he was up, everybody knew he was up. And when he was down, everybody knew he was down. You look at Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But have you looked at what Psalm 22 starts with? My God, why have you forsaken me? And it seems like David had these highs and lows. And as we read Psalm 13 this morning, you'll get a sense of where he is as we read the psalm. Last week, I talked about Jesus being full of surprises last Sunday evening, and this morning, it's David full of questions. And here they are. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemies triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. My enemies will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. I've split this psalm up into three sections. And in the first section, verse 1 and 2, I share that I feel David remonstrated with the Lord. And in the second two verses, we see David's request of the Lord. And then in the last two verses, David's response to the Lord. And that's what we're going to have a look at this morning. Most of you know that Rita and I are living and working in Spain. And although we're in Spain, our eyes are really on North Africa, because that's where our hearts are, that's where our passion is, and we're involved in training and equipping people, training leaders to go into the North Africa region. And we've just finished what we call a discipleship training school, and it's great to have Tim and Kathy here with us this morning. They were leaders on that school, and we were involved together in North Africa for, well, actually the team were there for 3 months, and lots of good stories as to what God has done during the last 6 or 7 months as we've been involved in that school. But although I have, connections with Spain, more recently, we've been there 2 years now, The first time that Rita and I ministered in Spain was back in the early 80s. And we were involved in evangelism there. We were reaching people on the streets, talking to them about Jesus. And one day I had some tracts that I was wanting to give out to people as I passed. This was in Barcelona. And people weren't taking these tracts. And so I thought to myself, well, I wonder why they're not taking them. Maybe it's because they think that I want money, and I don't want money. They're free. So just thinking things through very quickly. My Spanish wasn't brilliant at the time. It's not much better now, I have to say, despite the fact we've been there for 2 years. I thought, actually, it must be frío. Do you know that often with a Spanish word, if you put the O on the end, it goes from English to Spanish. And so I thought, that's the answer. So I was actually going up to people and saying, frío, frío, frío. And I got some really weird looks, and people passed me even faster than they had before. And then one of my colleagues came up and said, David, that's not the right word. Gratis is the right word. I thought, yeah, I should have known that, shouldn't I? And I said, what does frío mean? They said, cold. And I thought, oh no, that is embarrassing, going up to people and saying cold, particularly on a nice warm day. It's like, help. And unfortunately, that word has got around, and I've been introduced by some parents to their children as, you know, we told you about this guy who gave out tracts saying frío, this is the one. It's like, oh my goodness, what it is to be famous. Have you had a bad day? For me, that wasn't one of my best days. I hadn't clothed myself with glory on that day. I felt an idiot. But you know, as we come into this psalm, we're not looking at somebody who's had a bad day or even a bad week or even a bad month. It seems like for David, what he was going through had gone on forever. How long, O Lord? Haven't we said that as we've gone through difficult times? How long have I got to put up with this? How long is this going to go on? I'm not sure I can take any more. And as we read this psalm, we can just feel the sense of frustration in David's heart. How long, O Lord? See, he's remonstrating with the Lord. He's coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, I'm pouring out my complaint towards you. How long is this going to go on? And as we read through the two verses, it's not just one thing that he's remonstrating about. It's a number of things. And isn't that true? You know, if it's one thing that we're having to face, perhaps we can cope with it. But if it's one thing after the other, it's way more difficult, isn't it? And we say, Lord, how long? You know, I'm sure all of us have been in situations where we've had one thing go wrong after the other, and we get to a point where we say things can't get worse. And then they do. You ever been there? I can put my hand up. I've been there where I just feel things can't get worse, and they do. And we wonder where God is in all of it. Can I just say, maybe this morning, before I go on, you're thinking, actually, life is just great for me at the moment. Life is fantastic and getting better. Maybe that's where you are this morning. Let me say, if that's you, be thankful to God that things are going so well. And lock away this message in your hearts, because there may be a time when you will need it. Because the reality is, life doesn't always go swimmingly, does it? I think for all of us at times, if we're honest, we say, life sucks. Well, David is going through one of those times. And I think for us as Christians, you know, sometimes we can be a little unrealistic and think, because we're Christians, everything should go well for us all the time. And let me tell you, I've been a Christian 50 years. And my experience is, it doesn't. We have our troubles and our trials. But let's have a look at some of these things. And firstly, and I want to really bring the first two together. David says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Have you ever been in a situation where you just think, I really don't feel the presence of the Lord? It's like he seems to me a million miles away. Have you been in a meeting where at the end people say, wow, wasn't that a great meeting? Didn't you feel the presence of the Lord? And you don't want to disappoint them. So you smile and say, nice meeting. And in your heart, you're thinking, I don't know what meeting you were at, but it's not the one I was at, because I felt nothing. Have you been there? I'm sure many have. You've been in a place where you get up early in the morning and you've been encouraged to have time with the Lord, and you want to have time with the Lord, and you know, you start to read and you start to pray, and there's that sense in your heart, well, Lord, I've turned up. I haven't got a clue where you are, because you really don't seem to be here. You see, David was going through that. And let me say this, I know the scripture says that God will never leave us or forsake us, and that is true. But I think for all of us, there are times when we just feel we're going through the motions and God doesn't seem to be anywhere. And that's hard. Especially when we hear of others who are having such a great time with the Lord. And perhaps if we can look back ourselves to glory days, when we felt the presence of the Lord, where we've been so excited, where it's been wonderful being in church, where God has met with us time and time again, we can look back to those days. Oh, they've been wonderful days. But actually, that was some time ago. And what we experienced then, we're not experiencing now. And maybe the cry in our hearts is, Lord, how long? How long will you hide your face from me? It's like, I'm not seeing your face. I'm not knowing your favor. I want to talk more about seeing the face of God a bit later on. But it's almost like God's turned his back on us. I wonder if that resonates in your heart at all. If you're in that position where God seems so distant, then listen, this psalm is for you. Then he says, how long, Lord, must I wrestle with my thoughts? I don't know, when I just thought about that, I thought about a wrestling program that used to be, I think it was an ITV on a Saturday afternoon with Mick McManus and Big Daddy and all the rest of them. And I see a few smiles on older people and a few confused looks on those under 30. But for the older ones, you'll know what I'm talking about. And they're wrestling together. And, you know, it all ends when one of them is subdued. I wonder if that's you. You wrestling with thoughts? There could be all sorts of thoughts. Maybe it's just thoughts, I don't know, of injustice. Maybe somebody's done something and you're wrestling with these thoughts of injustice. Or maybe in pure thoughts. Or maybe worries and anxieties. You're wrestling with fears. Fears that you can't seem to get rid of. I'm sure we all know what it's like to wrestle with thoughts. You know, they particularly come at about 3 o'clock in the morning, don't they? Well, others would say they come all the time, but you know, you're lying in bed and you wake up and immediately your mind starts going to something and you're wrestling. And in your mind, you say, no, I don't want to think about that. And so we try and turn our minds away from it because we know it's not good. We know it's not right. And then a few seconds later, we're back there thinking about it again. No, I can't think about that. And a few moments later, we're back. And then we decide as we're lying on our beds, right, I'm going to turn over to the other side. And while I'm laying on the other side, that's drawing a line. I'm not going to think about that anymore. And we turn over onto the other side. And does that make any difference? It doesn't. We're still wrestling with thoughts. And we can't seem to get peace. And that's the thing we long for. We long for peace, but we're wrestling with these things. During the day, we're trying to keep ourselves occupied. Any moment our mind is not occupied on anything else, we go back to those thoughts. We're wrestling with these things. David was at that point, wrestling with these thoughts. It's hard, isn't it, when it's like that? Many of us have wrestled with thoughts. Sometimes they seem to go on and on for a very long time. Particularly if people have hurt us, there's been injustice, there's been mistakes made. Maybe we've made mistakes. Years after, our minds keep going back to that time, to what was said, to what happened. And it's hard to draw our minds back. We're wrestling with these thoughts. It is so difficult. If that's where you are this morning, David was there, and this psalm is for you. Well, we could go on. It said, every day I have sorrow in my heart. We can struggle with all sorts of things, but I think here what this speaks to me of is depression, you know, a heaviness of heart. It's a classic sign of depression. Maybe David was depressed. Some of you might say to me, well, hang on a minute, David. Christians should never be depressed. Really. I think David was at times. I think Elijah was at times. I think we can look at a number of Bible characters and saw and see that they went through really dark times when there was a heaviness of heart. And with a heaviness of heart, there comes a leadness in our feet. And maybe for some of us this morning, we're dragging ourselves around. You see, if we've got a joyful heart, that brings a spring to our step and we can skip through life. But you know, for some, it's not like that. They're going through a time where there's real heaviness of heart. And they are dragging themselves through each day. If you're there this morning, David, I think, has been there. And this psalm is for you. Well, He goes on. It's one thing after another. Not does he not feel God's presence. Not is he just struggling with his thoughts and no peace. Not only is he really heavy in heart and feeling depressed, but he says, how long will my enemies triumph over me? He feels utterly defeated. And it seems like this has gone on for a long time. And he's crying out, how long, O Lord, have I got to put up with this? Maybe none of these things you identify with specifically, but maybe, you know, things just go wrong at home. You know, the washing machine goes, then the TV goes, then, you know, something else blows, and then something else blows, and you just think, how long is this going to go on? I can't cope with this much longer. It seems the whole house is falling apart. It could be a number of things. But let me tell you, I think for many of us at times, rather than living the victorious Christian life, it's been more like living the defeated Christian life. Anybody felt like that? In fact, you'd say, David, if there was a church called the Defeated Christian Church, I'd probably go to it. I'd probably feel more at home at the Defeated Christian Church than I would the Victorious Christian Church. That's just the way I feel at the moment. The enemy has a knack of kicking us when we're down, doesn't he? Have you found that when things get really bad, then the enemy comes along and kicks us when we're down? And David had that sense of the enemy triumphing over him and saying, Lord, how long is this going to happen? You know, I love David because he was able to share these things with the Lord. I think he was just pouring out his heart to the Lord. And I think when we go through times like this, it's good to be honest with God. It's good to come and get alone with God and pour out our hearts to God. He's our Father. And I don't think he minds us coming and saying, Father, listen to me. I'm frustrated. I'm fed up. I'm not sure I can take any more of this. Father, what is going on? I don't think he minds us doing that. There was a time in my life, it was over a 2-year period, when we had a great work in Liverpool, St. Helens and Manchester. There was between 50 and 60 people working with us, with Rita and I, over a long period. We'd seen God's blessing and favor, and then it seemed to change. And over a 2-year period, while the training school we were running, we had a 10-year lease, and the 10 years was up, so we gave that back, and a number of people left. We felt we should give the AIDS care work in Manchester over to the church, and more people left. And then we gave the work in St. Helens that we were involved in with young people, we gave that over to the church. And within a while, 2 years, there was only about Rita and I and 4 other people left. I didn't feel too good about that. Would you? A team of 50 to 60 and suddenly you're left with 6? I was asking some serious questions. And so would you. It's like having a church of 60 to start with and after 2 years you've managed to grow it to 6. There'd be some people asking some questions, wouldn't there? And I felt a real failure. And then when I thought it couldn't get worse, it did. We decided to have a discipleship training school. In 96, we had the leadership. 4 students applied. I talked to them all. They said, yes, let's go ahead. But one of them said, if anybody else pulls out, then I'm not coming either. I said, yeah, that's fine. We were starting on the Monday, and a father was bringing his daughter down from Scotland on the Sunday. And as he was doing that, one of the students phoned up and said, "I've decided not to come." Wow. The first thing I had to do when this father with his daughter arrived was to say, "Thank you very much for coming, but the school is cancelled." I think that was one of the lowest points in the ministry, and I've been involved for many, many years. I had some questions. I poured out my heart to God. I said, "I don't know what's going on, Lord, but I need some answers." In fact, I think one of the things I said to the Lord was, "Lord, I'm fed up with Liverpool. I'm fed up with the Northwest. I'm out. Get me out. I don't care where I go. I don't want to be here any longer." "What's your answer to that, Lord?" And I found him say, "David, I haven't finished with you in Liverpool yet." And I thought to myself, rats. That's not, Lord, what I wanted to hear. And I was so frustrated at the time. I said to him, I said, "Lord, I really don't like that answer. It's not what I wanted to hear. And I want you to know I'm going to be back tomorrow with the same question to see if you've changed your mind." And I was back there the next day. "Lord, have you changed your mind? Can we leave Liverpool?" And the Lord said, "No, I'm sorry. I've not finished with you in Liverpool yet." And so we stuck in. And over a period of time, I began to see what God was up to. And it's almost like he had to bring a death of one thing before he could bring a resurrection of something that was very fruitful over the years and was, in a sense, a lead to us being in Spain at the moment. It was one of those things that began to point us in this direction. Friends, what I'm saying this morning is, if we're going through a difficult time, don't be afraid to get alone with God and pour out your heart to him. I think it's in Psalm 86. Let's just look at that together. Psalm 86. And I've lost the verse, I think. Psalm 62, verse 8. I thought it was Psalm 62. Psalm 62, verse 8. And David is saying this: "Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge." You see, I believe David did that time and time again. He was pouring out his heart to God. Let's be people like David, who, when we're going through difficult times, let's just be honest and pour out our hearts to God. Say, "God, what's going on? What's up?" Because I believe he loves that sort of honesty. Instead of us going through, you know, life with gritted teeth. And when people speak to us, you know, it is fine, thank you. And, you know, we're not really fine. But we're doing what is expected. With God, we don't have to do that. We can say, "God, life sucks.
what's going on.
Well, then David's request, let's go back and have a look at verse 3. Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. My enemies will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. There's something about God looking towards us that's rather wonderful. And this is what David's looking for. He's saying, Lord, look on me. And that's a recurring theme through the Psalms and in other parts of Scripture. It's almost like, Lord, it seems like you've got your back on. Look on me. Because, you know, when we have people look at us, there's a sense of their favor and their smile upon us. And that's what David was looking for. He was looking for God's blessing, God's favor, God's smile upon him. And let's have a look at Psalm 31, verse 16. And David is saying here, let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. Psalm 67, 1. Psalm 67 and verse 1. May God, it says, be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. When we were out in the desert during our outreach phase, it gets pretty cold at night. But there's something wonderful. You're up perhaps before the sunrise, you're feeling chilled, and then suddenly the sun comes up above the horizon, and the rays of the sun hit you, and there's a warmth there, and it's inviting. And there's a sense in which, you know, as you have God look towards you, there's that sense of warmth, of his favor, of his blessing. And that's what David was lacking, and that's what he was asking for. Lord, look to me. Let me feel the warmth of your face towards me. So then I'll know I have your blessing and your favor. It's something that I appreciate as I come in on a Sunday. We have the welcome tea. And what would you feel like if, as you walked in, they suddenly turned their face from you, their back to you, and let you walk by? Wouldn't be very nice, would it? You think, funny church. But I just want to honor the welcome team, because when we come in, they look at us. We see their face. We see the smile on their face. We see the greeting. We see the warmth of their welcome. And it does us good, doesn't it? As we come in, it makes us feel valued as a person. Their face is towards us. There's a story of a young lad who lost his mother, and at night he used to go into his father's bedroom and he'd say, Dad, can I climb in bed with you? His dad said, yeah, that's fine, son. And he'd settle down and he'd say, Dad, would you just turn around? You've got your back to me. Could you just turn around? Because I want to go to sleep knowing that your face is turned towards me. That's what brought him comfort. That's what David was looking for. Of course, there's the priestly benediction, isn't there, in Numbers 6:25. Let's go to Numbers chapter 6 and verse 25. I think it's going to come up on the screen. We'll go from verse 24. Let's go from verse 22. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace." I don't know about you, but that's what I'm longing for all the time, just to know the Lord's face is turned towards me. It's a wonderful feeling. And what I'd like us to do at the end, we always say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Are we free to change that this morning? Can we say, in fact, as we close, to one another, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Let's bless one another this morning with that benediction. I think I can ring the changes. You can always throw me out. But not only that, and time is going. But let's go back to Psalm 13. Lord, answer me, O my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. I think sometimes we go through very dark tunnels. And we say, Lord, what I'm going through now is killing me. Unless I can see some light at the end of the tunnel. Give me light to my eyes. Give me some understanding. Give me some revelation. Help me to understand what's going on. Give light to my eyes. Otherwise, I'm going to die. This is going to kill me. And then my enemies are going to gloat over me. Say, ha ha, he trusted in God. Look what happened to him. In his trust in God. Give light to mine eyes. Answer me. And if we just left it there, I think it would be quite a sad message. But I'm very glad to say that I can't leave it there, because David didn't leave it there. In all that he was going through, let's have a look at his response. But he says, I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. See, for the first four verses, his focus has been himself. Now, in the last two verses, his focus is on God. And that makes such a difference. He starts to think about God and he says, Lord, I want to declare my trust in your unfailing love. And this morning, I say to my heart and I say to your heart, whatever you might be going through, the fact is God loves you deeply and is for you. Yeah, sometimes we think there's degrees of God's love. Oh, I led somebody to the Lord this week. The Lord really loves me this week. Actually, I had a big blow up with a colleague at work. I said a whole bunch of stuff that I shouldn't have done. The Lord doesn't love me quite so much. I've really let him down. I don't think he loves me quite so much this week. Sometimes we feel like that, don't we? It's not true. Doesn't matter where we're at, who we are, God cannot love us any more than he does right now. He loves us deeply. Can't love us any more. Can't love us any less. And David was reminding himself of the incredible love of God. There was a time when I'd had a bad week and I'd really let the Lord down. Forget what it was now. I probably said some things I shouldn't have done. And I was just sitting as some people were getting prayed for, and God just spoke into my heart. It wasn't an audible voice or anything. God just spoke into my heart and he said, David, I want you to know I deeply love you. You're very precious to me. And I just looked at the week I had and it just broke me. And I wept and I wept and I wept at the overwhelming sense of the love of God. And one or two people tried to come and pray to me. I don't know whether they thought I needed deep ministry or not, but I just said, no, it's all right, just leave me. Because I was just being overwhelmed with the amazing, precious love of our Father God. It doesn't matter what we go through, he can't love us any more or any less. My heart rejoices in your salvation. And David's just reminding himself that he has a God who has saved him. Saved him from the consequences of his sin. We could look at it that way. You know, the good news is if we know Jesus, one day we're going to heaven. Not because of us, but because of Jesus. If you're a visitor here, you don't know Jesus. One of the reasons we love singing about Jesus is because of what he's done for us. We're flawed human beings that Jesus has loved and saved from the consequences of our sin, which is separation from God for eternity. We're going to heaven. David was perhaps thinking, well, despite what I'm going through, I know where I'm going one day. And maybe Jesus will come back before we die. I don't know. But whatever, we know where we're going. I don't know about you, but once or twice I've been in situations when I thought, Lord, this would be a really good time to come back. Have you ever thought that? I can remember thinking it when I was in a doctor's waiting room. And over the microphone came, David Leach, would you come up to surgery 2, please? And I can remember walking up those stairs thinking, Lord, if ever there's a good time to come back, if you want my advice, now's a really good time to come back. Because he is coming back. And he's coming back for all those who've committed their lives to Jesus. If you haven't done that this morning, can I say, don't let a moment more pass before you come to know this wonderful Jesus who loves you unconditionally. Doesn't mean to say as a Christian you'll go through a charmed life. If people have ever told you that, they've not been honest with you. But he is the best friend you'll ever have. And then he says, I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. It's amazing, isn't it, when he's just going through such a hard time. I guess it's a sacrifice of praise. He's saying, well, I'm going to sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. Maybe he's looking back to times when God has been so good to him. It's a bit difficult at the moment, but perhaps he's looking back, saying, I will sing to you, Lord, because you have been good to me. But I think also there's a prophetic sense about these two verses as well. which is often the case we see in the Psalms and with the prophets. It's almost like, it's not yet, I haven't been fully delivered yet, but I know I will be. And maybe he's thanking the Lord for the salvation that he knows is coming. Maybe he's looking back in his mind thinking, there is going to be a time when I'm going to be able to thank the Lord and praise him for his goodness to me. And there's a statement of faith here. Lord, I'm going to speak out my faith and my trust in you. It's been a long time. It seems like forever. But actually, I know that you love me. You've saved me. My salvation's coming. You're going to be good to me again. There's going to be a sense of your presence again. And Lord, I'm going to go on trusting you. There's a sense of faith and confidence as David ends his psalm. And that's where I want to leave it this morning. In a moment, we've got a chance to sing. The band are going to come. I think Katie's going to come. And we're going to sing. Here's a chance for all of us to sing to the Lord. Say, Lord, maybe life isn't great for me at the moment, but I am going to sing to you. Sing about your love. Sing about your goodness. As a prophetic thing, as something that I believe you're going to be doing in my life. And then at the end of communion, we can say the blessing together. May the Lord bless you and keep you. But at the end, we can say, it's not on the screen, but we can say now and forever. Because that's true. And maybe as you go on your way, you'll think, well, I've poured out my complaint to many people. They've heard my moans over and over again. Probably until they're weary of them. But I don't think I've really ever poured out my heart to God. Maybe it's time to do that. Maybe it's time to be honest with him. Pour out our hearts to God. Because, you know, sometimes when we do that, we begin to get things in perspective. Sometimes when I've done that, I've poured out my heart to God. He's spoken back to me directly. And I thought, I hadn't really thought of that, Lord. Okay. That helps me to get some perspective. So if we've never poured out our hearts to God, let's do that. Because I think you'll find in pouring your heart out to God, it will help you to see those things that you're going through in a somewhat different light. Lord Jesus, thank you for your love for us. And I pray, Lord, that you take this word and underline that which is applicable to our hearts. Would you underline it? Whatever truth you've spoken, if you've spoken at all, underline it in our hearts. May we take it away with us. And may your word bring good fruit in our lives. And Lord, for all those that are going through a really hard time at the moment, I just say, would you meet with them? Would you turn your face towards them? Would you bless them in these coming days, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.